Hello, ladies and gentlemen. A quick rant of truth with me, Tyson Harley, where I want to just dispose of this, this virus that is this idea that there's any question about Wuhan and the laboratory being the source of the situation. I want to do that by hitting on the highlights of something I found back in July of last year and that I put in a Facebook video. So let me go over what I'm going to cover really quick, then we'll get into the details. There's a claim. Gain of function research did not start until at least after it was again legal, when it became legal in December 2017. This is untrue. I found a November 2015 Science Journal article talking about a study mentioning gain-of-function research for bat coronavirus, reporting that they have attained human transmissibility. Now, this is not out of Wuhan, but we know that the NIAID, the little demons, fiefdom, funded multiple laboratories, and that the funding for this study, EcoHealth Alliance, is the same funding source that NIAID gave a grant to starting in 2014. Now, the official story is that upon the October 2014 ban of gain-of-function research, research was allowed, but that they followed the idea that they're just studying a bunch of coronaviruses. They were just doing surveillance on a bunch of coronaviruses. You'll find that in mainstream articles in defense, or as they tried to describe, once it was a big story that the NIAID literally funded the Wuhan lab, among others. You'll find this idea that, oh, well, yeah, it was banned and research was allowed, but don't worry, all they did was surveil the coronaviruses. They just looked at them, they just checked them out. So the official story is that only upon the gain of function research being allowed again in December 17 was any gain of research done. But as I've told you in the research article, that is simply not true. That research article was published in November of 2015. So there are two dates at which you could say are important as far as, well, are we going to do gain of function now? One is December 17. That's when the ban was lifted by the NIH. But there's another date in those trying to kind of make things ambiguous articles, you know, once the bombshell dropped about Fauci funding overseas labs for gain of function, they would say that, well, there was a $3.7 million grant to EcoHealth Alliance and or whatever their overall thing, but it was definitely EcoHealth Alliance. I don't know if that's the biggest parent umbrella entity. $3.7 million to research, and that was renewed again in December 19, and these articles will say December 19 is when the gain-of-function research started. Now, what I just tell you, November 2015 science article mentioning gain-of-function research from a lab that is doing bat coronavirus research and is also funded by that same EcoHealth Alliance. So I want to tell you really quick the video that I got to say, I did a really thorough comment on, was easy dots to connect on the veracity and criminality of one tiny unelected dictator. This is a 39-minute video. You can find it on Facebook under my Tyson Harley page. I've got a profile, but there's also a page. And then I, wherever else I put it, I think it was on Bright Eon. I haven't touched that a lot. I think I also then linked to the videos on MeWe. I don't think the videos themselves are hosted on MeWe, but you can look there anyway. I think maybe I did post just a couple of them there. So let's go through really quick. We know through the Newsweek article and even through the worst site ever, Snopes that EcoHealth Alliance between 2014 and 2019 was awarded a series of grants totaling $3.7 million by the NIAID. Now, we know that despite the early stories being a little bit confusing, and that's why Snopes thought, you know, then tried to act like people who posted were the problem and not the stories. They're like, not all that money went to Wuhan, as if that's the point. It's that some of it went to Wuhan and they were doing bat coronavirus research. Anyway, let's not talk about Wuhan because why waste our, Snopes, because why waste our breath? So I want to talk about this article. It was published in November 9 of 2015. It's titled, A SARS-like cluster of circulating bat coronaviruses shows potential for human emergence. November 9th, 2015, less than 2 years after this initial alleged surveillance research of bat coronaviruses. No, we're only looking. Less than 2 years after that, they're publishing in Nature Medicine, 11/9/2015. I'm going to go to the end of the article because I don't want to miss this part or underemphasize it because it's later. Editor's note. Oh, pardon me. I did not go to the right editor's note. November 20th of 2015. In the version of this article initially published online, the authors omitted to acknowledge a funding source. Interesting. USAID EPT predict funding from EcoHealth Alliance. I think I may have done the connection with USAID EPT predict. That would be an interesting one that I think I may have looked at before, but never really pulled everything together in a video or anything. So there's your EcoHealth Alliance funding, which is the same funding as the $3.7 million that funded the bat coronavirus research in Wuhan and elsewhere. But don't worry, they said, oh, we're just looking at these bat coronaviruses, just looking. Okay, well, let's go see what this study from November of 15 says. The emergence of severe acute respiratory syndrome coronavirus, SARS-CoV, sound familiar, and Middle East respiratory syndrome, MERS-CoV, underscores the threat of cross-species transmissions events leading to outbreaks in humans. Here we examine the disease potential of a SARS-like virus, SHC-014-CoV, which is currently circulating in Chinese horseshoe bat populations. Using the SARS-CoV reverse genetics system, we generated and characterized a chimeric virus expressing the spike of bat coronavirus, SHCO14, in a mouse-adapted SARS-CoV backbone. So basically, they're saying they combine the two. We generated and characterized a chimeric virus expressing the spike of bat coronavirus, SHCO14, in a mouse-adapted SARS-CoV backbone. The results indicated that group 2B viruses encoding the SHCO14 spike in a wild-type backbone can efficiently use multiple orthologs of the SARS receptor human angiotensin converting enzyme, ACE2, replicate efficiently in primary human airway cells and achieve in vitro, so that's in dish, titers equivalent to epidemic strains of SARS-CoV. Additionally, in vivo experiments demonstrate replication. Now, I should have captured that on screen. You know what? I have saved that article again. I'm going to go ahead and find that really quick. So let me pause and just see what that next page says, and we'll get in and out of here. All right, I thought I had resaved the original article. I know I have it saved on my computer, but I thought I had saved it to my Pocket, which is a certain app where you just kind of save stories in a in a low memory form, mostly text. I did not, but nonetheless, I found something else. So let's repeat very quickly. We generated and characterized a chimeric virus expressing the spike of bat coronavirus, SHCO14, in a mouse-adapted SARS-CoV backbone. Okay, so remember what they said before. Here we examine the disease potential of a SARS-like virus, SHCO14, which is currently circulating in Chinese horseshoe bat populations. Okay, so they said expressing the spike of a bat coronavirus and a mouse-adapted backbone. The results indicate that group 2B viruses encoding the SHCO14 spike in a wild-type backbone can efficiently use multiple orthologs of the SARS receptor human angiotensin-converting enzyme 2, ACE2, replicate efficiently in primary human airway cells and achieve in vitro titers equivalent to epidemic strains. So what I did find, you'll find this interesting, ACE2, spike protein. Here's an article. Here's a section in another article, notable features of the SARS-CoV-2 genome. That's a section in an article called The Proximal Origins of SARS-CoV-2 in Nature Medicine. So here we go. Interesting. Remember how we're talking about spike and ACE2? Notable features of the SARS-CoV-2 genome. Our comparison of alpha and beta coronaviruses identifies two notable genomic features of SARS-CoV-2 on the basis of structural studies and biochemical experiments. SARS-CoV-2 appears to be optimized for binding to the human receptor ACE2. All right, let's go back to the study real quick for those of you with a shorter attention span, or even if not. We generated and characterized a chimeric virus expressing the spike of bat coronavirus and mouse-adapted SARS. Later on, we say, can efficiently use multiple orthologs of the SARS receptor human angiotensin-converting enzyme 2, ACE2. Okay, so one notable feature. Appears to be optimized for binding to the human receptor ACE2. And the spike protein of SARS-CoV has a functional polybasic cleavage site, blah, blah, blah. So spike protein and the ACE2. And what did I just show you as far as the study? So as far as that goes, let's go ahead and finish. I think I've proven to you that they were certainly experimenting very early. So the type who would want to ignore, well, what do you mean? They didn't even get funding to do the, I can take their word for it. After all, you know, it's not like they went overseas to do research after it was banned here. It's not like they did that or anything. Well, yeah, they did. That would be an indicator of how truthful and noble they are.
Well, yeah, but it wasn't even started again till 2019, the gain of function research. Before that, they were just checking it out for a while.
Okay, $3.7 million for the 5 years to just check it out, and another $3.7 million for 6 years that now is the true work of gain-of-function research. Sure, buddy. But even if they wanted to believe that, they didn't even start until sometime in 19, and the whole thing, it couldn't have gotten that bad by 2020.
That's not true. They really started no later, and obviously they started by November 17 when they published an article, and reality started much earlier than that so they could do the studies where they published the article. I need to find the article again. It may say how long that they took. But one other thing I want to emphasize is something I mention a lot in our podcasts, both Chemology 411 and also The Scales of Truth. I will mention this on the regular basis, saying Luc Montagnier, who won the Nobel Prize for Medicine in 2008, was on French television earlier than July of 2020, unless it was early July, because I included it in that video that I posted in July of 2020. He was on a big round table discussion. Yeah, amazingly, the French have their deficits culturally, but someone who had a dissenting opinion or one that might be controversial was allowed on a national roundtable discussion. It was about a 17, I watched the whole thing. You can find it if you look hard enough. At least you could back then. Interviewer, have you reached any conclusions, Montagne? We have come to the conclusion on that. Indeed, there was a manipulation done on this virus. Okay, folks who still go, yeah, well, I don't know about all that. You know, they got two things. Well, I mean, it probably didn't come from Wuhan. It's probably just natural because, remember, they ignore facts and if you ignore facts, then you can make a bigger question mark around things and give you a little bit of cover. So he says, we have come to the conclusion on that. Now, this Montagne, it wasn't just him fiddling around. It's a Nobel Prize winner who got a team together. He says that in the same. So it's research team coming to this conclusion. Indeed, there was a manipulation done on this virus. There's a pattern that is obviously the classic virus, and there's a model especially coming from bats. But on this model, someone added on top of that some sequences, including HIV, the virus for AIDS, .. It is not natural. It was a job of a professional, a job of molecular biologists. It's a very meticulous job. We can say of precision if you look at the sequences. All right, guys, so let's just get that blown out of the water right now. The idea that, whoa, there's some kind of question around, well, come on, they did gain of function research, but it's really a mystery as to... Okay, now, I know that the publication did not say it was out of Wuhan. At least I don't remember. I read the thing. But it was around that group of labs that were funded by the same funding source, and it was gain-of-function research done before, well before you're supposed to do gain-of-function research. And why wouldn't that information be shared, A, and B, just because one site publishes doesn't mean that the other sites weren't doing the same or similar research. All right, guys, that's all I got for now. Thanks for listening to this quick rant of truth. You can catch me over on Chemology 411 with Kim Schultz. We are in all the various podcast hosts, Spotify, Apple, those types of places. I'm on the Scales of Truth, which we've done nowhere near as many shows. Kim's Chemology 411 has over 155 episodes at this point. We have done 100 regular episodes, plus some other extra episodes. Lately, we're breaking it down into, if you listen to our early podcasts, they would tend long. Oh yeah, you might as well get your long walk in with those. And or try to while away the day at work while listening and getting some entertainment and fun. But we've recently, every week, we take our, let's just talk about random stuff that was at the beginning of our podcast, so we wouldn't get to our main topic until 20 or 30 minutes in. We have taken the random stuff and put it as a separate, kind of just as its own separate episode, even though we're not counting it among our episode numbers. And that's called Systematic Chaos. It's released soon after we record it. And then the regular episodes are released on the following Tuesday. And now those episodes are a little bit more to the point and get right to the main topic fairly quickly. That wasn't the case with the first, whatever, 95. We would do a bunch of fun stuff at the beginning, eventually get to our main topic. Still good, but a little bit harder to navigate. So go to Chemology 411. We've got probably 120 episodes or more just with Kim and I, if you count the excursions, which are kind of mini episodes, and now the Systematic Chaoses, which, you know, we split off from the main episode. And you can go find me on the Scales of Truth. That's in many a podcast platform too, including Spotify.
and out of Audio Boom. All right, guys, thanks for listening to this quick rant of truth.